greatest event that's ever happened in human history, when Christ hung between heaven and earth and suffered for our sins. There's never been anything to equal that in human history. And everything before that looked forward to it. Everything since then looks back to it. It's the center point of human history. And it has changed untold millions of lives since that event. And looking forward to it, by faith, has changed millions of minds. So here we have the Apostle Peter recounting to the multitudes there that this same Jesus, whom by wicked hands, it says that he had been delivered by the determinate counsel, foreknowledge of God, which tells us that the event took place because from the beginning of human history, ever since God had promised Adam and Eve, and he told Eve, he said he said, I will put enmity between your seed and the seed of the serpent, and your seed shall bruise his head, and his seed shall bruise his heel. And so this was the that fulfillment of that prophecy. And all the human history, the people of faith in particular, look forward to that, from righteous Abel down to the last soul that lives in this world that's been given the gift of faith to believe that Jesus is the Christ, is what Peter is telling them here. You see, when they said they were cut to the pricked in the heart, in another place it says that some were cut to the heart. And we believe that the law cuts the heart, but the gospel pricks the heart, makes it tender. And this gospel is just being preached here by Peter, and these people, as they are convicted by the Holy Ghost hearing this, they cry, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter says, repent. That is, turn. Later he says, save yourself from this untoward generation. That generation of Jews did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. That, I believe, is what Peter is saying, repent of. The Jews believed that Messiah was coming. They still believe that he's coming. There's a devout number of Jews today still looking for Messiah to come. But Peter says here that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the promised one, the anointed one. That's what it means, the anointed of God. And he's saying that Jesus is this Christ that David and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets had prophesied about, and that that Jesus is indeed the prophet that they had prophesied about. He is the Messiah, and he has come, and according to the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye by wicked hands. Because this was done according to the foreknowledge of God does not mean that they were not accountable for their actions, and that they would be judged one day according to what they had freely done. And so he says, ye by wicked hands have taken and crucified. And so man, though history is a fulfillment of God's purpose and will, yet man is responsible for his deeds and his rebellion against God, and will one day account for it. As a matter of fact, sometimes I almost tremble when I think of it. He says, every idle word shall be accounted for. every idle word. Beloved, that's something to think about. That our lives, in its completeness, the words that we speak, the things that we do, the thoughts that we think, will have to be accounted for. And is there any wonder that when a sinner is convicted of his sins by the Holy Ghost, that he flees to Jesus for refuge? He's a rock of refuge, shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Is there any wonder when your sins come up before you that you want to flee and hide in this cleft of the rock that God has provided for us? What a wonderful thing to believe that Jesus came out from God, took on himself a body of flesh and blood. Seeing that his brethren were partakers of flesh and blood, he partook of the same, that he might come and offer up a sacrifice acceptable to God. As we said before, he offered himself to God. He didn't offer himself to man. He offered himself to God without spot, without blemish or any such thing. And because he was without sin, he had no sin, he knew no sin, he did no sin, his sacrifice was efficacious. It availed for what purpose it was made. All of the rivers of blood that were shed by goats and by sheep and by oxen and by birds and the animals, the five clean animals that God had announced that was lawful to offer under the law service. Rivers and rivers of blood had been shed for hundreds and hundreds of years, but none of them could put away sin. They were just a type and a shadow of better things to come. And that better thing was the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, how he suffered. He suffered not only in body, but in soul. If you remember the night before he was taken to be taken to before Pilate to be condemned and crucified, it said that he told his disciples, he said, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful. My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death." He suffered in soul torment that we can't even begin to understand. How can a sinful man, how can a person with a sinful nature that's prone to sin understand somebody that had no sin? His innocence, his constant obedience. Even when he was 12 years old, he was marveled that his mother and father didn't understand why he stayed behind and talked to the priest. He said, "Wished you not that I should be about my father's business?" Every thought, all of his, who can comprehend such a thing? Every thought that he ever had was acceptable to God. A man without sin, in thought, in word, in deed. The Lamb of God that taketh away sin of the world. And so he was troubled. He saw, he knew what he had to go through. They beat him with rods and with lashes. They smote him with their hands. They spit upon him. They mocked him. They delighted in their cruelty to him, a man who had no sin and did no sin. And yet, he saw this and he knew, and he asked Peter and James and John to go with him from the other apostles to pray that night. And they fell asleep. Isn't that just like us? They fell asleep. How often I picked up my Bible to read it and fall asleep. And but he said he went a little further. Jesus went a little further. I love that statement. At every funeral I'm in, I tell the people that's lost their loved ones as they're sitting there. That Jesus has gone a little further. When we get to the grave, we have to stop. We can't go down in the grave and live. But Jesus went down there and come back out. He went a little further. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. And he knew what was coming. He says, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. And they went to pray, and they said, is it his sweat, as it was great drops of blood. The agony that he knew he had to go through was so great that his sweat was as great drops of blood. Not only was his body offered as a sacrifice, but his soul. Isaiah said, he shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. Knowing he loved his Father so much, and the gift of his bride that the Father had given him, he was willing, more than willing, to suffer these things that his bride might live with him one day, cleansed of all of her sins, declared to be righteous, to the point that no devil in hell can bring a charge against them anywhere. We will stand justified, freely justified by his grace, freely justified by his blood, freely justified by faith. The scripture says we are justified by all of these means. We are justified by grace because we didn't deserve it. We deserve justice under the law. That's what we deserve. But God in his rich mercy has not given us justice. He gave it to his Son. That's the reason he suffered, because justice demanded it. We might sweep some of our sins under the rug, or the sins of our children, that we won't have to discipline them so much. But God can't do that. It has to be paid. In order for a sinner to be justified, his sin debts will have to be atoned for. And since the blood is the life of the body, and it takes life to atone for sin, then Jesus had to shed his blood. And he knew that. And he foresaw that, and his soul was travailed, was exceedingly sorrowful. And he knelt down and prayed, and fell down, it said, and prayed. And his sweat was as great drops of blood. Oh, how he loved us. How he loved his Father. How he loved his bride, the gift from his Father. And he set his face like flint towards the cross, and he would not be turned. The cup, he said, that the Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? There was no turning back. The debt had to be paid. And he willingly submitted himself to the wicked hands of men. And he went to the cross. And when he had suffered all of these cruelties and indignities and insults, he said, it is finished. It is finished. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. And beloved, when he said it is finished, there's nothing we can add to it. Nothing we can take away from it. It's finished. It's complete. The job has been done. And the judge is satisfied. And as the angel told Joseph, he said, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus," which means Savior, "for he shall save his people from their sins." And we believe he did that. He did not fail. I've heard some men say that hell will be running over with people that could have been saved if they had accepted Jesus. If that's the case, he was a failure. He did not do what he came to do. If that's the case, he did not fulfill the law. He said, "I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law." And he fulfilled it in every jot and in every tittle. And his mind was set towards that. That's the reason when he was 12 years old, he told his mom and dad, he said, why are you upset? Why are you concerned? Wish you not? I should be about my father's business. His mind was set to go to Calvary. He would not be turned. And his body, we are made up of a body, a soul, and a spirit. And he suffered in all of those. The body says it refers to those that have died. It says their spirit is going to be with his spirits made perfect, that are made perfect. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, Israel was commanded to make two sacrifices, to offer two lambs every day, one in the morning and one in the evening. And it's said that they offered the one in the morning around 9 o'clock of the third hour of the day. The Jewish day started at 6 o'clock in the morning. And the third hour of the day was when they offered the first lamb. And the ninth hour of the day, which would have been 3 o'clock in the afternoon, was when they offered the afternoon lamb. And we read that Jesus was hanging on the cross about 9 o'clock in the morning. The sun went dark, and there was darkness upon the earth for about 6 hours. I believe that's what it says, about 6 hours. So that means from the morning sacrifice to the evening sacrifice, God forsook him. It was darkness. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Do you realize he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you? But yet he forsook his son. Why would he do that? That he might be just and the justifier of him that believeth on Jesus. The law demanded it. He said, I come to fulfill the law. It demanded it. And he suffered it. And when he had completed, suffered, and after 6 hours, the sun shone again. I believe that's the assurance that his sacrifice was accepted. He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The sun began to shine because it was finished. He had fulfilled every demand of the law, had suffered in body, soul, and spirit terribly, even to his sweats was as great drops of blood. The agony that he suffered in his soul was probably greater than that that he suffered in his body. But it was the justice of God demanded it, that he might satisfy every demand of the law until it was fulfilled to the satisfaction of a just and righteous God. And is it any wonder that the gospel is good news from a far country? The gospel means good news. It's the words that God has spoken of forgiveness, that his name shall be preached, in his name shall be preached the forgiveness of sins till the end of the world. Is it any wonder that man is pricked in the heart when he hears what he's done to the Son of God? That his sins that put him on the cross, it was for his sins that he suffered, that he might redeem us from all of our iniquities and cruel sins that we have committed. And because he did that, now we can stand before the righteous bar of God, and not a sin can be laid to your charge, not one. Now the devils will try, that's for sure, but we are justified from the deeds of the law by the blood of Christ, who suffered in our room instead and cleansed us from all unrighteousness. The prophet said that he will bring in everlasting righteousness. That's how he brought it in. He just didn't bring it in his hand or in a parchment. He brought it in his body and suffered the indignities of our sin that he might justify us from our sins. And the gospel, I never will forget the day that I believed, that it dawned on me at peradventure my sins, which were great, had been forgiven for Jesus' sake. It's joy unspeakable. It's joy in the Holy Ghost. It is joy divine to actually believe that your sins are forgiven you for Jesus' sake. For years, I lived a life of Riley, you might say, ever since I came out of the war, World War II. And I didn't look at it as being so sinful. It was just kind of mischievous, you might say. It didn't dawn on me that I was crucifying Christ. It didn't dawn on me that when I passed the graveyard, that all of that was a result of sin. I never thought about that. That the world, the earth, is under a curse because of sin. I never thought of it that way. It was just kind of being a full-blooded young boy, you know, was being enjoying life. It wasn't that serious. But one day, my sins come up before me and I couldn't hide. I thought, When I was halfway around the world, and the things that my mother and father had taught me, that what I was doing, they didn't know about it. The good people there in my hometown, they didn't know about it. I just thought I was getting away with it. But I realized that day that God knew. And they were open and naked before the eyes of him with whom I had to do. Beloved, I became miserable. I became so miserable. Until today, I saw Jesus as a friend of sinners and a complete Savior. And from that day until this, He is my refuge, my hiding place, my only hope to ever live in a world to come without judgment, without punishment, without torment. I believe the fire, just talking about the wicked and the devil, all cast into the lake of fire. Fire is a symbol of judgment. And I just think it means that the wicked will be miserable all of their throughout eternity. They'll be under judgment of fire, the judgment of God. And I believe that to some degree the Lord's people experience that when they to bring them to repentance. Peter said, repent. Repent. And be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and you shall receive for the forgiveness of sins. Be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What is the gift of the Holy Ghost? Joy unspeakable. Faith that Jesus put away your sins. The ability to actually believe that. If any man glory, let him glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. That's what we understand. That because he suffered, we have received remission of sin. Because he was willing to leave the courts of glory. There's no way we can understand the happiness between the three persons of the Godhead. Who can understand the happiness and the glory in heaven? And yet he was willing to leave that and to come into a sin-cursed world and fall into the hands of wicked men and be cruelly, cruelly crucified, and that we might live one day justified freely from all of our grievous sins against him. What a wonderful Savior we have in our Lord Jesus. May God add his blessings to his precious word and seal it in our hearts as our prayer, that we might truly love him and worship him and be devoted to him and render unto him the righteousness, the praise, and the glory, and the honor in the church that's due to his wonderful and great name. That's why the Lord set the church up here in the world, that he might receive the worship and the honor and the praise that he's due. And it's a wonderful thing to be a part of it, for which we are so thankful. And we just pray the Lord will preserve us and keep us, that he will keep his church as an apple of his eye, and that for her sake he'll preserve the country that we live in. God told Abraham that if he found 10 righteous souls in his city, he'd preserve the city for their sake. He said, I'll preserve the city. We find 10 righteous in there, all of them wicked people will be able to live. I'll spare it for their sake. Let's pray he'll spare our country for his church's sake that he's planted here in various and sundry places throughout the country. It's a wonderful, wonderful blessing. And it's grace, unmerited favor that we don't deserve. But yet it's pleased him for his name's sake. Even so, Father, it seemeth good in thy sight, Jesus said. So let us thank him and praise him and try to serve him to the best of our abilities. What shall we sing, brethren?
237.
Number 237. We publish the doors of the church open for the reception of members. If there's one or more here today that believe that Jesus died for your sins and you want to feel the joy of the fellowship of our Lord in his visible church and join and be baptized, you're publicly confessing that you believe that Jesus died, that he rose again from the dead, and that he has, that you have died to your old man, and the new man is risen, and you want to follow him. That's how you witness, be a witness of your wonderful Savior and Lord by following his commandments. That's the way you get to keep the ordinances. You can't keep the ordinances without doing that. You can't be a member of his church. He said, do this. As long as you do this in remembrance of me. He's worthy of being remembered, isn't he? And following him, that's the way we do it. Being baptized and taking the Lord's Supper, emblems of his broken body, shed blood. Sing, brethren, the doors of the church are published open. What number was that?
237.
237. Sing when you're ready. We'll strike the glad hands of fellowship as we sing.
What a
friend we have in Jesus.
All our sins and griefs to bear. What
we bring out lunch and invite you to stay and eat with us if you're possible.
you're